Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, March 14th, 2022. This morning I will talk about Revelation. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Ever-present Father, all praise and glory, power and dominion, knowledge and passion belong to you, Father to the fatherless, lover of the unlovely, judge of the wicked, and savior of the faithful, for you loved us before we loved you. Forgive our unworthiness, our weakness, our sinfulness, our lack of concern for others while we knew your handiwork but turned the other way, and ignored your teaching in the law and the gospel both. Have mercy on us. We give thanks for the many blessings of this life, and especially for the example of your Son, Jesus Christ, who showed us how to live and demonstrated to us how to die for the sake of others. Renew your Holy Spirit in our hearts and place your law in our minds, that we might turn to you in our hour of weakness and testing. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Psalm 19, verses 1 to 7, we read, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." According to Athenaeus, we can know God through three methods: pondering the immensity of heaven and the harmony of creation, conversing with holy men and women, and following the law. All three methods of knowing God are woven into the fabric of Psalm 19 cited above. Again, we see the integration of created being, goodness that is perfection, and knowledge that is law, mirrored in the unity of heart and mind in Hebrew anthropology. Scripture, as in Psalm 19 cited above, normally assumes awareness of God through creation. Likewise, in Psalm 8 we read, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" This is Psalm 8 verses 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul makes this point emphatically in Romans 1 verses 19 to 20. "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." The idea that the order in the universe points to a divine creator, like finding a watch on the beach points to the existence of a watchmaker, is a classic proof for God's existence. In theology, this awareness of God through creation is described as his general revelation. A personalized variation on this concept of general revelation is to argue, as Thomas does, that creation awareness is one of nine sacred pathways to God. Naturalists are those that experience God most clearly through communing with his creation. The other nine pathways are through the senses, tradition, asceticism, activism, caregiving, via mysteries, through contemplation, and with the mind. What Thomas describes as pathways depends on the spiritual gifts that God gave us in our creation. Adam and Eve recognized God's voice when he called to them in the Garden of Eden. This is Genesis 3:8-10. Cain, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Job all spoke directly with God. Athenaeus argues that God created us in his image precisely so that we might recognize him. Even Satan recognizes God's voice, as we read in Genesis 3:14-15. The Blackaby's inventory, the ways that God spoke to his people in the Old and New Testaments. In just the Old Testament, we see creation, angels, prophets, dreams, visions, casting lots, Urim and Thummim, gentle voices, fire, burning bush, preaching, judgments, symbolic actions, signs, miracles, writing on the wall, a talking donkey, trumpets, thunder and lightning, smoke and storms, fleece, the sound of marching treetops, face-to-face, personal guidance, and various unspecified ways. The voice of God can still be heard, but not everybody listens. The role of the prophet in the Old Testament was to point people to the Mosaic Covenant and to listen for God's voice, which had become veiled in most people. In Numbers 12, verse 6, we read, "Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I will speak to him in a dream." Yet if God's voice were faint and the prophets amplified it, lack of acceptance, not deafness, was the underlying issue because the prophets were typically persecuted. Jesus railed against this persecution. In Matthew 28, verse 37, we read, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it." More typically today, observant prophets are shunned in favor of those who preach what the people want to hear, which the Apostle Paul derided with these words. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, we read, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itchy ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers that suit their own passions. Itchy ears make it hard for many people to know God through holy men and women, as Athenaeus opined." Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.